Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. If you haven't already, would you take a second to subscribe to this podcast? That means every Monday, when a new podcast comes out, it'll just show up in your queue, ready to listen to. It also helps Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else know that you like the show and it'll recommend it to others. And if you really want to help us out, you could leave a rating or review. Reviews are life to podcasts, and yours would mean the world to me.
Hey, and welcome to our series, It's Time for Change. Today we are discussing what happens when you are called to plant roots and leave the life you are currently leaving and really loving. I'm so excited to share this conversation with Andrea Agerbaum Montalvo, and she will explain the Agerbaum during the conversation. She's my guest today, and we are talking all about changing lives. Andrea is a former CrossFit Games athlete, and she has spent years competing in CrossFit events all over the world in hopes to make it to the CrossFit Games, which she did many times. Andrea breaks down the years she spent competing, her faith, and her move to New York, and her marriage. All of these things are full of change, and Andrea's faith has been an anchor through it all. Listen in to hear how she has grown in her faith, how and why she had to step away from the barbell for some time, and what her life looks like now. I think you're going to love this episode. So friends, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I get to sit down with a friend who I've followed on the internet for such a long time. Jesse and Ezekiel actually got to spend some time with her in New York City last summer. And it's just been fun to watch this beautiful woman grow and change. So I'm here with Andrea Montalvo. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
I really paused. Okay, Andrea, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm here in Queens in New York City. Just got back from the gym, and I love, you guys inviting me on your show. Thank you so much. And I'm actually just drinking water right now because I'm really dehydrated and I just did a lot of pull-ups. So I'm okay, I need to rehydrate myself because I had a hard workout. But I wish I was drinking coffee, but I already had mine today.
Well, that's good. Water after an extreme workout like that is great. Andrea, I know you from CrossFit, the CrossFit community. You are a former games athlete. You are just this force to be reckoned with on the gym floor. And we're going to talk a lot about change today and how your life has changed since those massively competitive days. But first, tell us a little bit about, you said you're in Queens now?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what kind of brought you to Queens and a little bit about you and your husband and your family.
Okay. So current day, I work in the mornings as a personal trainer. And I have a seminar business where I teach, people to be able to do really good technique on lifts and gymnastics. So it's super, super fun. And my husband's name is Peter. And it's funny because I had a nickname before I got married. It was Agerbaum, which is the same as all my social media. But now my maiden name is still a huge part of who I was, yet also see who I am. But I took his last name. So it's been, quite a change for me, for this season, because I actually am meeting people now that have met me within the last 2 years. So they actually don't know why my social media is called Agerbaum.
That's funny.
And so they're I don't get it. What's Agerbaum? They don't understand it. And I'm oh, that was my maiden name. And they're oh, I only know you as Andrea Montalvo. I didn't ever think of that. And I'm wow, I'm a grown adult now. I've actually gone past, this nickname that was such a part of my identity. So we live in an apartment here in Astoria, Queens. It's a very Greek neighborhood. It has great restaurants, big Brazilian population, Puerto Rican population, lots of people that move to New York, they go there first. And then if they want to move into Manhattan or work into Manhattan, it's really easy. We're 15 minutes from Midtown. So it's easy commute, fast, and still in the middle of New York City, but it's a little bit quieter and a little less crime. So all that good stuff. I mean, you get more bang for your buck too. We have a backyard that's really rare in New York City. Yes. We got really, really lucky for that. So Yeah, my dog likes it.
Yeah, for sure. That's so awesome. And that's hilarious because when we got on the call, I was like, hey, tell me how you say your last name. Because I, like I said, I've followed you for so long. I told Jesse, hey, I'm going to go interview Andrea Ager. He's like, you need to make sure to say her married name. I'm like, I will. But it's so funny because that's how we have known you. And then you said you train people. And I said in the beginning, Ezekiel and Jesse, for Ezekiel's 13th birthday, got to go on a trip to New York. He got to pick the place and what they did. Like, it was his trip. Pick whatever you want. And he was like, I want to go work out with Andrea. Like, this is going to be so much fun. And so you did. You were so sweet and trained Ezekiel that day. And it's one of his, like, top memories. Like, it was so fun for him just to be, like, focused in on at the gym and, like, lift and be encouraged by you. It was so much fun. And he knows you as a games athlete. So it was, like, such a big deal for him.
Yeah, I remember that day. Like, I have, like, a lot of, like, jerseys or uniforms that I used to wear when I was competing in the games. And so I, like, wore, like, that shirt. Like, because, like, I don't wear them, like, all the time.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I do have a lot of them, but like, because I can't really like get myself to like give them away or throw them away. Like, but I have like, I had probably like 10 at one time, and now I have like 3. And I like dug through my laundry. I was like, where is this? Because this little boy is gonna like think I'm way cooler
if I have a jersey on,
like Lululemon. Yeah, and so yeah, it was a really fun day actually, because just having people from out of town, them like, oh my gosh, New York City is crazy, you know? And then we went to eat afterwards. So that was fun too.
Yeah. He loved that. It was so much fun. And then Jesse, obviously he was like, God, she was so sweet and so kind. And so like everything that we have seen you be on social media, you were to those guys, and they just enjoyed it so much. And we talked a little bit about like your past, like your athletic competition. Like, what do you call it? Your games past. Like, so the games is like CrossFit. What is it? I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I'm like losing, I'm stumbling over it. What are the games? When we say you are a competitive athlete, like you were a legit competitive athlete.
Yeah. So, I mean, I usually start by explaining what CrossFit is.
Go for
I know
it.
The show is not like about CrossFit, but, if you have gotten involved at all, it's basically working out, but a competitive mindset to that. So you're trying to get strong, but you're also trying to get fit. And sometimes those things go together well, and sometimes someone has to work on something more than other things. I grew up running and swimming. And so I ran track and field in college. I ran the 400 hurdles. I did a lot of triathlete stuff. And I swam like all the way up until I was my freshman year in college, when my track and field scholarship like bought me out. And so it was a really cool experience to be able to be like well-rounded in those areas, because then I had to learn a lot of like gymnastics, like pull-ups and getting up on top of rings, but then also like tire flips and running on stadiums and, you know, picking up like 200 pounds off the floor and bring it to my shoulders. I mean, those are things in CrossFit that you have to work really hard on to be ready for a competition. But yeah, CrossFit is constantly varied. Mm-hmm. So every day it's different. Every time you go to the gym, it's something not boring, something that you can expect, but something that you're learning. So constantly varied. It also shocks your body, which is really cool. And then it's functional movement. So functional movement is like, if you were to pick a laundry basket off the floor and you want to do it safely, you'd need to learn how to be functional with it instead of just like using your back and like straining your back. And if you're going to be taking like a big pot, like out of like, you know, like the like shelf and like taking it down, like you'd want to do it in a good position. So we say that it's functional training for life. And it keeps people moving for longer. And then also it's at high intensity. So you see people doing CrossFit and they're like breathing hard.
Oh man.
Like they're like, oh man, like this can be intense. But the idea of it is that, you know, that's what gives it results, is that you're doing things with perfect, perfect form. And once you get it really good, they say, okay, move up the speed a little bit. Let's go a little faster. And then only if you can maintain perfect form while going a medium pace, they go, all right, speed it up. And so if you're a competitor, then you're always pushing the limits. You're always sweaty. You're always training for hours on end and just talking a lot about skill and technique. So that was my life from 2009 until 2016. So for that 6-7 years, I was sponsored by Reebok. I had a ton of protein sponsors and supplements and people that just came along the way, like sports bra companies and female, you know, athletic apparel. But yeah, I mean, it was really fun ride. Honestly, I love talking about it because now I make my living a different way. So although I do train every day, it's nowhere near the experience that I used to have. But yeah, I stepped out of it because I think everybody has like an amount of time they can be competitive for in a professional sport. And that time passed me up, honestly. So it was like, okay, I'm 32 now. This was more of like my mid-20s. And I did have some injuries, but most of all, I just, the girls got really diverse and very, very strong. For example, like a clean and jerk. I can clean and jerk 225 pounds.
That's crazy.
Well, now so much. A lot of girls, and we're not talking five, we're talking like 30 girls of the top 10 can clean and jerk 250 pounds.
Yeah, which is a big, which is a huge jump.
It is a huge jump. And I just was at the point where I'm like, I think I'm at my very max of like all my strength numbers. And they're at the point where like, you know, the younger girls are going to keep competing and, you know, taking our places. And I actually liked that transition. It was different for me. I definitely didn't choose it right away. But now I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad I got to be a part of that.
Well, and I think what's really cool is you got to be a part of the early stages of CrossFit. Like, you got to kind of lay the groundwork for the games and for what that looked like and for what the sisterhood within CrossFit looked like and how it could look. Like, you were a really big part in laying that foundation, which is really, really cool. And it's not easy to be a pioneer. And I really believe that's what you and a lot of the early women in the CrossFit competition world were pioneers into this place where it was okay to have muscles and it was okay to be super, super fit and feminine and in a really neat way. So I loved watching you in that aspect. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So now you, like you said, you kind of like, not reluctantly, but you stepped out of that season and you transitioned. And like you said, you only have a certain amount of time to be super competitive as an athlete. And like, we see that with basketball, we see that with football, like the players are like, okay, like my body's taking a beating. It's time to transition out. What did you start doing in lieu of, like, cause there's probably that mental game where you're like, I'm done. I'm just not going to work out anymore. I would do that. Like, if I can't compete, I'm not going to work out.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, changes from like working out like 5, 6, 7 hours a day to working out like 1 hour a day. Like, I honestly, like, there are days when I just go in the gym and do random stuff for like 90 minutes, like an hour and a half, or there's days where I take class. So I'll actually take a CrossFit class at a gym, and that's full of like beginners and intermediate people and really advanced people. It's really all across the board. My husband takes CrossFit too. So that's like something we do together to have fun together. And, yeah, we love getting stronger and, getting fitter, and he's good at some things and I'm good at some things, and a lot of stuff I've been able to maintain, but there's been some stuff that like have really declined, honestly, just like not practicing them as often as they used to have to. But it's cool to challenge each other, and like we make friends at the gym, and we run a ministry through CrossFit, so it's basically like faith meets fitness. And we have faith and fitness events a couple times a month, and people get together in fellowship, and new people are always invited and welcomed in. And we have small groups, someone gives a faith talk, and then there's like a partner workout. So it's pretty cool. I got involved in it in 2014 and I've just always loved it. And then me and my husband decided, you know, we wanted to start a chapter out here like about 3.5 years ago. So it's been a really wild ride, honestly. And like right now is the most like steady my life has like ever been. It's like steadily like in the same place, married, and not like flying around doing like all this crazy stuff as much, and like getting to build like really deep relationships in New York City, and getting to really focus on just friendships and work life, and being knowing where I'm going to be tomorrow, you know? And I've loved that. That's been like something that I always really craved, but I didn't know when or if that was ever going to come for me. So it's been really, really cool.
That's so neat. And I didn't think about that, but yeah, you were always on the move, whether it was competitions to trainings to even the Faith RX, like you mentioned, the ministry you're part of, Faith RX, and doing all of those things. Like, you were always on the move. And for once you have like roots.
Yeah, roots. That's a good word for it. Yeah, it's definitely cool to have roots. I mean, I don't know if we'll be in New York City forever, but right now we feel really called to it.
Yeah.
And so we, like there's been things that have happened that we've gotten to see and, like, witness. And, like, God is just moving big time here. It's been so cool to see people, even in our CrossFit community, really, really grow in their faith. And I'm like, wow, like God is doing all of this. And I just want to be up close for it. Like I want a front row seat. Like I want to keep being involved. And honestly, until we feel like we really like, I mean, God's not going to stop moving, right? But at the same time, like as long as we like feel super involved and connected to these things that are happening, we're like, okay, we want to stay. And so, I mean, it's, we live kind of in like a, we call it a big city, small town, because you'll see people on the streets that you know constantly. And we live in a one bedroom apartment. I mean, if I can just describe the culture to you, it's super different. Like coffee, coffee, coffee. Every hour of the day, it's like coffee, I swear to God. And it's, there's like a, you know, new restaurant opening up on like every street corner. It's subways everywhere. I don't have a car, so I walk, ride my bike, and take subways literally everywhere. Like I probably walk like 15 minutes at least, like 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah, so like, I mean, it's definitely like, hey, I'm on a mission. I'm like commuting right now. Lots of subways and trains. But yeah, the culture is not very family oriented. There is family here, but it's very rare. Like a lot of our friends are working professionals, single working professionals. Our friends in the church are married, but it's so interesting because, you know, you have a lot of people like that in the church, but they're not from here a lot of times. But then you have like people in our gym, and we have 200 people in our gym, and honestly, less than 3 married couples. Like that's it. Everyone else is like working professionals, and that's it. So it's like, if I had a kid, like if we started a family, it would be like the first kid that's like walking on our gym. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's really different. And so the things that we value, you know, and just like morals and standards and even just like desires of like, oh, I value marriage and oh, I value, you know, starting a family and having kids and like growing, you know, like kids that are going to grow up and believe in God. Those are like foreign concepts where I live. So it's like really cool to connect with people in that way because it's so rare.
Yeah. And you just, I mean, like you have the opportunity to be like, hey, why is this your, why? Like, why do you think this way? And not in a like, oh my gosh, why do you think this way? But like, let me hear more about this. Like, where is your head at? That's really neat. And you're not originally from New York. You're from Colorado.
Denver. Yeah.
So what a different pace of life.
Yeah, it was a culture shock, but I moved to Los Angeles when I was 22 to compete and also to like learn how to coach and train people, become a personal trainer. And so when I moved out there, I loved it. I loved LA. I lived there for like 3.5, almost 4 years. And so, you know, being there and for that time, it was definitely like a city feel. But, you know, now it's like, I feel like LA is a ghost town compared to New York because New York is so saturated with people. It's insane. I mean, we're not driving as much. There's not as much traffic. But I mean, I see hundreds of people each day. Hundreds. Like, it's insane.
It's so crazy. Like, it's overwhelming. Like, we're from a small town in Alaska. And then here in Texas, it's like, that's bananas. Like, that's so many people. Like, so many people. And I stay at home so much. Like, I just work from home. But I love New York City. It's one of my very favorite places to go. I have a little bit of, like, PTSD with New York City because I don't know if Jesse told you this when he was with you, but, like, we were supposed to get our daughter in New York. She was flying home from Africa, or flying to from Africa to home for the first time. And they, like, called us while they were there and, like, sorry, she's not coming home. And we're, like, in Union Square Park. And I'm just, like, sobbing. So New York has, like, a little bit of bitterness for me. But that's okay. I'll get over it. Titus, our younger son, wants to do New York for his 13th birthday trip. So we'll be up there in a summer. In like, an extra summer. So
that's cool.
We'll come
that's
see you when we're up there. If you're still there.
Hey, I want to break in real quick and remind you that there's a listener survey up. And I would love for you to fill out. If you're listening to this podcast, which you are if you're in the middle of it, I need your help. I try really hard to make sure that this podcast is meeting you right where you're at. But to do that, I need your help. I've got some great feedback already, and I would love some more. So while you're listening even, you can swipe up on this app and go to the description and click that listener survey. It'll help me so much as I continue to produce content that is for you. And in doing so, you'll be entered to win a present from me to you. A couple books, some Noonday, and you know, a gift card. Thank you in advance. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say.
I love that. So you've talked about your husband a little bit, and you guys just recently celebrated your first anniversary?
So we got married in October 2017.
Okay, so second.
Like 2 years ago-ish, almost 2.5 years ago or whatever.
That's so cool. So And, like, I don't, like, you're not very old, but you, like, like, you know, you're not old at all. Like, I think you're the same age. But I feel like there was, like, this dating journey for you, or people were always kind of like, when are you going to get married? Or what's your dating life like? Like, you were kind of in the limelight a little bit. And so, like, dating your husband, or dating and then getting married was kind of a big, I mean, it always is a big transition, but it was a big transition that you did pretty publicly.
Yeah, it really was. And I always felt like this weird feeling of like having to like hide my relationships like from social media, just in general, because everything in my life was public. So when I was, you know, dating someone, I felt like that was my only personal thing that I wasn't sharing with everyone. Like everywhere I went, every seminar I taught, every, you know, job that I had, every workout that I did, every result that I had was very public. So I'm like, I always was afraid of being like the Taylor Swift of CrossFit.
Oh, that's
like,
so sweet.
I was like,
so
I don't want to be dating all these guys. Oh, that didn't work out. That didn't work out. Like, what's wrong with this girl? Like, she's like 11 relationships, 11 hit songs at in.
Like this. Every CrossFit box has an ex from Andrea.
Yeah, I'm like, oh wow. Like, I do not, first of all, want to be that, and I don't want to invite people into that, because if that happens to me, I can't control it. You know, like if I'm like just not supposed to meet who I'm sorry for a long time. But at the same time, like I also like I dated some high profile athletes in the sport, and I didn't want to like, you know, to people like rumors to like start about like, oh, it didn't work out because of this. And
right.
It's hard enough to go through a breakup. Why would I want my followers to like all of a sudden not see a person in all of my pictures that they had been seeing? So it was always very private to me. But then it was really cool because, you know, once I met Peter, my husband, I just started to like, it just started making sense. It was the first relationship I ever had that, where the guy was a believer, that he was a Christian, and Pete is a really strong Christian. So it was a really different courting experience. And like, he really pursued me, and he made me feel like he would do anything to like, not only keep our relationship pure, but to like, pursue my heart and like get to know me and like spend a lot of like quality time with me. And he's an engineer. He's very smart. He's not like in the fitness world per se. Like he's not a coach, but he's, you know, as involved as I am now. But yeah, so when we were meeting, like he's very like to himself, and I'm like very extroverted, love to talk, whatever. And so he would call me and like not say anything. And we were doing like long distance relationship for so long. And I'm like, I told his sister, I'm like, I just don't think this is going to work out. I don't even think he likes me, except he just keeps calling. Like, I don't know, like, what's going on. And she's like, no, he's just shy. Like, he's just really, like, quiet. And then, yeah, but, I mean, when I moved to New York, it was basically a huge change. I got an opportunity through teaching a seminar here. I really fell in love with this area. And then that seminar, that gym that I taught at, they wanted me to come back and they offered me a position. And many gyms have done that over time, but I've always been like, that's so weird when people do that. I'm not just going to leave where I am to go to where you are. And this time I was like, well, there's a CrossFit Games team building there, and I would like to be on that team. And my boyfriend lives like an hour away from there. I could move. And it was like, once I started thinking like that, I mean, it was just over. And so moving for a job and a team and a relationship, you know, eventually I was on a 7-month contract, and I thought, okay, you know what? Here's the secret plan. I'm going to go for this 7-month contract. I'm going to make it so worth it. I'm going to spend time with his family and get to know this boy. And when my contract's up, I'm taking him back to Colorado. That's what I'm doing. And I was so set on it. And then when the time came, I just couldn't leave New York. Mm-hmm. I could not leave it. I loved what was happening here. I loved our neighborhood. I loved our local church. I loved the discipleship and the praying. And I started being on the prayer team. I got a lot of friends that were in ministry or nonprofits. We were running together, and I'm like, I can't leave. And then we got engaged, and I'm like, now I'm a New Yorker. Okay.
Now I'm here.
I got the subway cards. I got the, you know, I've got 10 umbrellas this year. I'm a New Yorker, you know?
That's amazing. I was gonna say, I lost so many umbrellas in New York. Like, they just break. That's so awesome. And I love that God takes our plans and he's like, okay, as long as you're willing, I'll tell you what's going on later. just that open-handed, like, I'll go. This is my plan. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Just go. True. So, and I love it. It kind of goes along with what I was thinking about you. Like, you, there's been a sense of control in all of this where you, like, okay, I'm gonna compete until I can't compete any longer or all that. So you have this, what we think of as control, but you've surrendered so much of it. You've surrendered your professional athlete-ism, like, all of your sponsors and all of that. And then you're like, okay, well, I have all this knowledge, so I'm gonna coach and I'm gonna teach and I'm gonna make the best of this. And the thing I love the most about you is that you take Jesus with you so boldly and so out there. And nobody thinks, is Andrea a Christian? It's like, no, you wear Christ as a brand in an authentic way. And it's so, so encouraging. So I love that you've done all of these things. You transitioned everything so well. And then even your faith into your marriage has been a really cool thing to watch, because sometimes, like, when I first got married, we were super young when we got married, but it was, like, marriage was just kind of, like, the next step, and for you guys, it was really, like, you get to step into this next calling, and it was just, it's so neat to see, and then, like, to have friends that are friends of yours and everything, and just, everyone says the same thing about you, Andrea. Everyone says she is so authentic, and she loves Jesus so much.
So, that's the goal, right? That's the goal. That definitely is, like, you know, I wasn't always like this. Like, I think I was a little bit confused in my faith for a long time, not uncommitted, which is weird to say, but like, where do I belong? What church am I going to go to? Am I ever going to feel known at a church? Am I ever going, like, cause I went to many mega churches. I grew up Catholic, so I've always had different experiences of church going. Actually really benefited from growing up Catholic. I actually really loved it. I got confirmed. I helped teach my brothers and sisters confirmations. But then once I started moved to LA, things changed. I started going to a Christian church for no reason other than it was convenient. And then I really loved it. I mean, I stayed for that reason because it was really connecting me to God in a cool way. And then, you know, when I started dating Peter, my husband, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I kept saying it's next level. Like, things that we were doing or things we were talking about or conversations we were having or doing ministry in general. I'm like, this is all like too next level for me, is what I would always say. And he was like, no, like, you are there. Like, you need to stop pushing it away. Like, God's like knocking on your door and you're just like saying, oh, like, this isn't what I know, so I can't be that. And now I'm like, okay, well, now this is what I know and I can't be anything else. Like, I can't like pretend like I'm someone I'm not, you know, and I can't go back in time and like try to be this like intense athlete that was like trying to hold on, but also still had such a distraction of like a desire to compete and be the best and hang with a lot of really amazing, you know, women. So it's been cool because when you compete in something, a lot of things are about you. They're a lot about you. They're a lot about when you go to sleep and how long you rest and what you eat and what your nutrition is like and what your training was like that day. And it's ultimately a very selfish thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very self-centered mindset. I know that a lot of jobs can be that way, but this especially, because it's like, it's also social media, it's also cameras, it's whatever. So
all to get you to number one.
Right. It's if you think of it, I was very susceptible to that. So I fell into that with idols and just pride and desire to be, you know, to make the world more about me, which is not healthy at all. And so, you know, I don't think that this is a coincidence. I don't think it's from CrossFit. I think it's from God knowing what I needed better than I knew. But I ended up getting injured pretty bad from an overtraining injury in my lower back, and I had to stop for a while, and I had never experienced that kind of pain in like in my whole career, so it was just kind of like all at once, and it wasn't anything heavy. It was something very movement specific. It was very random, and it actually kept me off of, you know, really any barbells for a year, and so I really didn't have a choice, you know, when I stopped to kind of pause and go, okay, you know, what am I doing with the seminars, and how can that be, you know, kind of not center stage, but more of a time focus, and how am I dating and what is that like, and how can this boyfriend of mine be like more of a time focus than boyfriends in the past? And that's probably honestly the only reason why I'm married, because I like got to be undistracted. I got to serve Peter in a really cool way. He was a little soft, a little overweight, and I fell in love with the soft feet. Like, he always tells people that. He goes, yeah, Andrea loved me when I was fat. That's why I know she loves me. He wasn't fat, but he does say that about himself. And he lost 40 pounds doing CrossFit and changing his diet and doing bodybuilding. He has, like, incredible transformation pictures. He was awesome. Super motivated, and I'm so proud of him. But I wasn't the root of all that. Honestly, right. It was him. But it's cool. It was cool because he really wanted to lose the weight and he really had these goals. And although those goals seemed small, like compared to what I was used to, I was like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm your cheerleader. I'm going to help you cook. I'm going to help you do this. And I'm going to, you know, be there for you and do what I can. And, you know, it was more about us dating and our journey together rather than, oh, it's Andrea's journey and whoever's like going to be along for the ride, you know,
just cheering her on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, being less self-centered helped me actually be a active part of a relationship, which I think is vital to like literally anyone. Yes,
a huge part of relationship building. That's so awesome. I love that. That's so cool. Well, while I long to see you on the floor again competing, I know that you're exactly where God wants you to be, and that's such a cool thing. And I just love that you get to serve so many more people by actually like serving people and not just being a platform person. So I think that's neat. What's something in your life that's changing right now?
But we are trying to start a family. Yay. And so that's something that is changing so much for me right now. And it's really cool thinking about like being a mom. And for the first time, like Pete and I are like really on the same page about it.
Cool.
Where we both are like, oh, we can't wait for this to happen. Whereas like at first it was like, are we sure now is the right time?
Right.
Are we sure? Like always, are we sure? And so I'm like totally embracing it. I am excited to like bring a toddler around in ministry and like keep the relationships I have with young girls yeah. that I'm discipling and working with. And, you know, we read the Bible, we go through scripture, we do some memory verses every now and then. But a lot of it is like talking about life and talking about what a Christian woman looks like, and you know, what is that Proverbs 31 woman, what is someone that like is pursuing Jesus doing differently than someone that is living like the normal American dream,
right.
you know, looking for success, looking for temporary happiness instead of finding joy in the Lord. And so it's been really, really fun, and I'm like, okay, I could see like starting a family being like just one step ahead of these girls who are in different stages of life, and to being like, okay, this is what it looks like. I'm doing it for the first time too, you know. So, but still really special. So
I think that's awesome. I was just listening to a speaker, Jenny Allen, talk about discipleship, and she said discipleship looks like bringing girls in and saying like, fold that load of laundry, and I'm going to teach you from the Bible, like. Like, just, like, it's that. It's doing practical things with people and saying, like, okay, this is, I'm going to teach you what I know and what God showed me, but, like, I need you to help me along the way. Like, mate those socks while I teach you.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's so really cool. Good. Yeah. Like, when one of my girlfriends does the dishes after we, like, cook her dinner, I'm like, thank you. I love that.
Service. So my best friend cleaned out my microwave the other day, and I was like, every time I reheat my coffee, I'm like, God bless this friend. Okay, here's the last few questions I ask everybody, that because after conversations like this, we're friends, and I feel like I need to know these about my friends. So, who or what is your guilty pleasure social media follow?
I guess it's like not like a guilty pleasure. I guess I have two. I guess one, I don't follow any people. I only follow like Christian content. Because for me, I like really struggle with social media in general. And I used to always try to get through my feed. And if I have 200 people, that would take me like half an hour. So no thanks. I'm not doing that every day.
Smart.
So I only follow like 10 people. But they're not people. They're like content. So my favorite is the Gospel Coalition. They
yes.
have great content. I always stop and read whatever they have. I follow Faith or X and stuff like that. But there is one girl that I'm really interested in, but she runs a puppy training site, and she's like pretty amazing. And her name's Kirsten, and she runs like all things pup. And I always am like, oh, okay, volume on. I need to learn this because I'm like obsessed with training my dog. And I'm like, you will be the most obedient puppy there ever was. And he's like 60 pounds. He's a huge dog.
So big.
If she's like, hey, you teach him how to wait, you teach him how to listen, you should do this, I'm like, you will do this because this girl is channeling this into me.
That's amazing. That's so good. I need to follow her too because we have a puppy and he's so naughty.
Yeah, girl, get to that. And I am a people trainer. and a dog trainer.
That's no, right. It's probably similar stuff. Our old CrossFit coach would say it's probably very similar, and he would actually probably say it's easier to train a dog than to train a human.
Yeah.
I'll have to text him that today.
I don't have my CrossFitters treats.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Why don't we have CrossFit treats? I'm like, I'll go lift. Oh, that's funny. Okay, what's your coffee order?
Black. Just black. Like drip coffee. Yeah, super boring. I have lattes on weekends every now and then, but I like a vanilla latte over a book or a couple of girlfriends. But yeah, every day I drink black.
It's smart. It's less everything.
I like the taste of black coffee too, so that's I don't good. Mind it.
What's one of your biggest pet peeves? So, like, you're walking through the city. What's a pet peeve of yours?
If, like, Denver is just, like, sniffing somebody and, like, being nice but not being invasive, and they're, like, pissed off about it. I'm like, what the heck? Like, he's just being a friendly dog. And they're like, go get your dog out of here. I'm like, oh, wow, that was super uncalled for. Okay, all right. But it's not usually someone that's afraid. If they're afraid, I get it. But I'm always like, wow, like, come on. You at least have to, like, touch him. He's really fluffy. He'll make your day. Like, just try it.
He's so cute. That's so funny. We had a coach. And she had a black dog like yours. And he looked like Fozzie. A Fozzie the Bear. Like, that's what Denver looks like. Fozzie the Bear.
Yeah, that's true.
What's something you've read, watched, or heard lately that you're obsessed with?
Okay. So, I love podcasts, just like you. I really liked this one. It's called Real Christianity. And, I mean, it sounds really basic, but it's made by the Partridges. It's a couple... and they just basically talk theology, and they ask really hard, questions that people nowadays want to hear about. And so, like, you know, just like hot topics kind of things. And they're really short. They're like 20, 30 minutes, but it's so good. I mean, it makes me feel like I'm like getting filled like every day.
Cool.
And I don't listen to it every day, but each time I do, I'm like, okay, that was a good use of my time. Like, I'm super efficient. So, you know, listen to a sermon or something like that helps me a lot. Two of my favorite books I read recently, one was called The Gospel. The gospel comes with a house key. And that one was basically about hospitality and like bringing people and inviting them into your life and just seeing what God does with it and just going, okay, yeah, I'm open. I'm available. I have time for you. Even when things get tough and you need downtime or whatever, just letting people enter into that space and, sharing whenever God prompts. So, yeah, that was a really, really good one by Rosaria Butterfield. And then the next one is called the God Ask. And we're doing a ton of fundraising right now for FaithRx. Mm-hmm. We have a chapter with about anywhere from 10 to like 40 people come to our events. And we want like to make it like way bigger. And so we're trying to start a chapter in the Bronx, which is a really cool area. But they like have been loving FaithRx, coming every Friday night for hours. I mean, people are asking the coolest questions. And we really want to raise money to send them to go get to go to leadership camps so that they can become leaders. And so right now we're fundraising for the year and we have like a small goal, like $10,000-$15,000, but we're about halfway there. And so the book, The God Ask, has just been fueling that, just kind of helping us understand that, you know, this is like all of our money is God's money, like all of it.
Yep.
And so like what we do with it is actually like inviting people to partner with us, inviting people to like know more about what we're doing. And some people have 9-to-5 jobs that they can't get involved in ministry, but they like want to support, they want to help missionaries that are out to do God's kingdom work. So it's been a cool book for resources if anybody wants to hear about it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I told you before, I'm a huge fan of FaithRx. I'm bummed that we don't have a chapter. Well, we don't go to a gym anymore, but we have a gym in our garage. We have a chapter. Yeah. We have a FaithRx chapter in our garage. But yeah, we're huge fans of them and the work that they do and bringing the gospel into a gym is actually, when we moved to Texas, we went to like a club, like a group fitness gym. And that's how we got connected here. Like, it was sitting on the floor in Bible study, sweaty from spin class and pump and all of that. And just like meeting one another right where we were at. And I know that the gyms that have these Bible studies, the FaithRx Bible studies within their boxes, what it does for the gym itself and how when you put families and faith first in fitness, it makes such a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Big fans.
Yeah, it does.
Big fans. Andrea, thank you so much for your time today. This was so much fun. I'm so glad we got to do this. I am so thankful for your honest, like, heart and change in seasons, and I think it's going to really encourage a lot of people.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Y'all, I was so excited to chat with Andrea. I'm a longtime CrossFitter, and I've been a fan of how she has conducted herself during this whole journey. Also, Andrea just announced that she's pregnant, so congratulations in growing your family, girl. We are all cheering for you. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come check me out. I'm at Jeanette Tapley on Instagram and at The Jeanette Tapley on Facebook. Everything you need to know about today's episode will be in the show notes at itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait for next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friends!